Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men. I'm Alex, and with me is James. We're doing our first minisode in like a year, I think. I mean, this used to be a thing that we did. But the people demanded it because...
It's a baby Grootisode.
Sure. Great. Fucking love it. Because I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and to use a phrase that James and I like to use, I put it on blast on Twitter because I thought it was incredibly poor. And James, you at least liked this film. You didn't say it was a game changer or anything, but you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy this movie.
So why don't we go with you first? And we'll see, you know, because I think you have the more common response to this film.
Let's back us up and tell the real story.
Okay.
So on the Thursday before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I informed Alex that I was going to see this movie and that if he were to see it soon, we could podcast about it soon.
Yeah.
So
let's back this up even further.
Okay.
I listen to 20% of the things that you say.
But record 80% of them and release them to the world.
Exactly.
So I was ready to do this podcast early. Alex wanted to hear what everyone's opinion was so he could take the opposite of it and then watch the movie. Contrarian view can fit into modern pop culture.
Okay, great.
I like this movie. It's the funniest superhero movie, I think, ever. You like Chris Pratt. You thought he was at least entertaining in this, no?
I might not like Chris Pratt anymore. Like, I really hated this movie.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So wait, my story wasn't done. So then you saw this movie, put it on blast on Twitter.
Yeah.
And our fans just came through you and put you on blast for putting this movie on blast.
Yeah, specifically Matt Wiles took great umbrage with what I was saying. He tweeted me about it and then texted me about it. Because that's the kind of relationship we have with our fans.
Exactly. So I have to thank Matt and everyone else who did some blasting of their own. Yeah. Because, I think maybe this movie is getting too much love in general. A positive opinion of it.
Yes.
Do you want to go over your problems with it, which might stop this from being a mini-sode?
Yeah. Well, I expected it to be mediocre, like most Marvel movies. I expected it to be, you know, I expected it to be like Thor 2, just sort of a thing I didn't regret watching that I would immediately forget after. And, you know, just something that was just pretty mediocre. And then I saw the opening scene, which I liked. I liked that there was like a full on cold open for a movie, even before the Marvel title card comes in. I liked the scene.
I thought you'd like that intro.
Yeah. It was good. And I was like, oh, maybe they're trying to make a movie. They were not. They tried to make a scene, and then they tried to make another scene, and then they tried to make another scene, and none of it flowed together. There was no connecting thread. Everybody just kept mentioning family, like that was some fucking thing. And just
that's
so
a thread.
Yeah, it's a thread, barely.
Is like, that more of a thread than like than? Is this really more disjointed than most Marvel movies?
I think so. Well, it's certainly slightly. But the thing that. Okay, well, say the idea of this movie, if there is an idea, is that you can find your family anywhere in a gang of misfits, yes?
Sure, yeah, I'll take that.
That's the Avengers as well. It's the same thing the Avengers was about. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Avengers either, but there were a lot more dumb, small decisions made throughout Guardians of the Galaxy, like... Cameras seemed to be moving for no reason at all. Like the cutting from one scene to another had no connecting thread. It was just sort of like, oh, Zoe Saldana and Chris Pratt are talking outside. Oh, now we're cutting right into a prison fight sequence or something. And
it's coming from a Michael Bay apologist.
Okay. Yes, that is true. But Michael Bay, with the camera movements in his dialogue scenes, at least they are kind of consistent. Whereas you would have a shot, a wide shot of going back to the scene of Zoe Saldana's character, who I don't remember, I don't care, and Chris Pratt's character, Peter Quill.
Peter Quill.
Yeah, so we get a wide shot from behind them, just quick, sort of, or not quick, but like a slow tracking in. And then we get a fucking close-up of Zoe Saldana that's tracking away from her, and then a close-up of Chris Pratt that's tracking towards him. Like, it's just all these different directions of camera movement that just make no sense and don't add anything. Like, it makes the scene seem like it wasn't thought through at all. And that's something that is prevalent throughout the entire movie. And there were so many characters that were, I just didn't think were explained, like their existence was explained. Like, this was a movie with Benicio del Toro in it that I don't like, that I was just incensed by, even though I love Benicio del Toro so much.
And, the Counselor.
The Collector. Oh, The Counselor? He's not in that.
Isn't he?
No.
Well, which one am I thinking of?
I don't know. Which one are you thinking of? The Counselor's the Cormac McCarthy, Ridley Scott joint?
I'll get back to you on this.
Okay. there were certainly some points where I laughed, but
Blacklight on the spaceship. Jackson
yes,
Pollock.
that was that's very a, funny. That is a very funny line. Great. Like I'm, you know, put it in a YouTube sketch. Save me some fucking time. And the action was boring, which is the other reason why it doesn't make up for the problems I have with the dialogue scenes. Like you said, I like Michael Bay, but even if his dialogue scenes are nonsense with the script, at least the action sequences can be good. Transformers 4 is a bit of a letdown that way, but the action sequences in Guardians were just so bad, and it was the worst. I hated it.
You didn't like the prison break?
No.
And the kind of the first meeting between Zoe Saldana and Peter Quill, where they're all fighting over the orb, and
that was the best part.
I thought that was a well put together scene, and I thought like kind of following 4 or kind of 3.5, because usually Groot and Rocket are together more often than not. Mm-hmm. I thought for tracking, let's say 3.5 people in kind of like a 3D space, I thought that was well done. I thought that was like well put together and engaging.
I thought it was fine. The one shot of any action that I remember in the movie comes from that scene. It's the shot of from above Peter and Zoe Saldana as they're like lying on the ground trying to kick each other. It's a nice little wide shot, and it's actually kind of interesting to look at as opposed to just being the boring shots throughout the rest of this film. But yeah, that was the best of the otherwise pretty bad.
Okay, and the idea, like the kind of the ragtag group of misfits being your family thing, you thought was by Avengers 2 recently?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and all them kind of existing together.
Yeah, and so many scenes seem to be shoehorned in. Like, I don't... Okay, so Thanos was there so that Zoe Saldana could be like, he's my dad. And then the Collector was there because he collects. And then... I don't know. It was just...
I think Thanos has a role in the larger universe too, right?
Yeah, that doesn't... Yeah.
Fine. Oh, you mean like they're just putting him in there just to place this in that universe?
Yes. There seemed like a lot of placing being done in this film. Yeah. So.
Do you just hate music from the 1970s? Maybe that's it?
Sure. Let's blame it on that.
Okay, well, this is just the sound of so many people unfollowing you on Twitter and unsubscribing to our podcast.
Yeah, it's the sound of nobody, because we have a wildly unpopular podcast, James.
Matt wildly unpopular.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but then they won you back with the Howard the Duck tag, right?
Sure. This movie used up all of its goodwill long before that. Like... Oh, man. I didn't care at all. I was just like, well, I guess, sure, why the fuck not? Like, this movie was so bad. And John C. Reilly at the end being like, you know what? I had a family, so thanks for saving my family. Nobody mentions all the other destroyed families that were caused by the goddamn giant space battle moments ago.
Yeah.
We saved John C. Reilly's family. It's fine. He's been in the movie for 20 seconds. Lee Pace has a bigger fucking part in this movie. He's dead. His family's like, oh no, Lee Pace is dead. But John C. Reilly's is fine. We like him more. He's got a bigger head. He's more likable. It's fine.
Right. But I think, because I had a debate with someone else who did not enjoy this movie overall.
Okay.
What up, John Alistair?
Oh, my God.
And like the things that he was listing that was so stupid about this movie, I feel like you have to be stupid to watch a Marvel movie and expect anything different. Mm-hmm. Like so many of these movies end with, you know, complete devastation, and then you know, like the John C. Reilly character, the one that we kind of have any knowledge of being happy and grateful. And yeah, tons of people have died all like within feet of these people. But like that's the last 20 minutes of every movie in this whole universe, if I'm not mistaken. I just don't get why this one is the one that bugs you. And maybe it's just because everything, like, you know, you have listed other things in this movie that are specific to this movie that you didn't like. And so maybe, you know, as you said, it's used up all its goodwill by then. And this is just one more thing that bugged you. But I feel like that and some of the things that people have said about it, you know, being formulaic, I don't think Marvel's ever going to make a movie that doesn't have these things. And I don't think they're wrong to, because it keeps making money. And
yeah,
this
of course
has been received well.
Yeah, that's insane to me. But the thing that the battle's getting so big that the, you know, the whole world is in danger or whatever, that all of these people die. That sort of started, that hasn't always been going on with the Marvel Universe. It starts about with the Avengers. And then since then, the scale of these climaxes has been huge, just because once one gets this big, you kind of have to make them all this big. Otherwise, you know, your movie isn't better, you know, thought of as better than the previous. And so they're like, if you look at the end of Iron Man, the first Marvel Universe movie, it's you know, people didn't like its ending. They didn't like the final action sequence, but it's Jeff Bridges' character and Tony Stark having a little bit of a fight in the streets where I think three people are in danger, and then probably a couple cars get flipped, so they're in danger as well.
In a box of scraps.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you just sort of, it's always a collective build. And so that's 2008. We're in 2014 now. So of course we're going to get tired of certain things over time. And we've maybe just hit a point where, I mean, I said this on numerous podcasts since like last summer, where I just see fewer blockbusters, you know? And it's because I've sort of gotten tired of the tropes, and, to an extent, I still like them, but sometimes they can really bother me. And Captain America, for the most part, earlier this year was an exception to that. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy just, I don't know. It had, when he fucking pulls out the tape at the end, whatever, we're talking about death. But it was just, it's just a cumulative thing, and there were no stakes because the stakes were everything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Since everything's, it's, everybody's in danger, nobody cares about anybody.
Yeah, well, I think I feel like the world's, there has been a world at stake in Thor and Thor 2.
Yeah, I don't care about either of those movies very much. Yeah,
I know, but it's before Avengers. I mean,
yeah.
I think once space gets involved, you know, and this is, I don't know why people say space opera so much when the space, I don't know. Anyway, but this is a, you know, a space action movie. It's always a whole planet at risk, because when you can have a whole galaxy or a whole system, like a solar system or something, you can have a whole planet
yeah.
be destroyed.
Yeah. But you have
I think
to
that
make
just me... comes with that genre.
Yeah, and you have to make me care about any one portion of this. I didn't care if Chris Pratt lived or died. I didn't care if anybody lived or died. Halfway through this movie, I didn't care if I lived or died. You know, like it was...
But then Baby Groot danced and you felt good about
yeah,
great. Your life again.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
What about the part of Rocket Raccoon telling Peter Quill that he needs that guy's leg for his escape plan?
That was funny, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had probably five good chuckles in this movie, you know? But I also had I saw A Most Wanted Man before it, which is a like 2-hour spy movie that's not a comedy, and I had 5 good chuckles in that movie as well.
I clearly just think that this movie is funnier than you do, and I'm trying to think of what the reason for that is. Like, obviously we don't have this exact same sense of humor, but we tend to find the same things generally the same amount of funny.
Yes, but you find things that are funny, you'll give it way more credit than I would just for being funny, right? I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I mean, it's your thing. It's your I don't know, Dolly moves.
I'm the funny MacGuffin, man.
Yeah, you're exactly.
What sensitive one?
Yeah, I'm the fucking nerd one on a Dolly track.
Okay, so I didn't change your mind.
No, God no.
I really thought I was going to.
Are you serious?
No,
you can't be serious.
Not at all. You're very set in your ways, Alex.
Yeah, and this movie's very set in its ways of being a piece of fucking trash.
You know, for a second there, I thought we were Groot, but I guess we're not.
I wish I could make a competing reference, but I tried to forget this movie as soon as I could. But thank you for listening to this minisode.
To the final MacGuffin Man episode.
No, we have to talk about Point Break. And then maybe that'll be the last one.
Oh, yeah. Keep your iPods tuned for Point Break.
Or if you need an awesome mix, Volume 3, we'll send you it on a cassette.
Hey, can we briefly talk about the sequel to this?
Yep.
I said briefly.
Yep.
Okay, here's my prediction. That the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, like one of the big themes about it is now that they're famous, people want them to act more like normal superheroes and like to create more of a family. And, you know, obviously the word family gets used a lot. Clearly by the end, we're supposed to believe that they are, you know, a certain type of family. But I think a bunch of the dialogue is going to be about, you know, who gets to be the leader. Why, like, you know, why is Peter Quill the dad? I think Rocket Raccoon's going to be very upset about that. And Baby Groot's going to be a baby and he's not going to be on Rocket's side. Because that's what I think they're going to do. I don't think this movie is so different from all the other Marvel movies as people seem to say.
Oh, God,
it is.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, like it's people talk about this like it's so much different. And again, I liked this movie, but... talked about it like it was such a change of pace from what Marvel's been doing, and it's not. Like, it's funnier, and it's properties people don't know as well. Like, that's the biggest change that I see is you took some like characters that most people don't know. I'm aware that there is a comic book and the Guardians of the Galaxy have been around for 40 years or whatever, but even Iron Man, who wasn't huge when the first Iron Man came out, like, was so much more known. The biggest change has just been taking something that people weren't that familiar with. And maybe that's why this movie seems so different, is because it was different things, but it wasn't done that much differently. But I mean, still done well, in my opinion. Just it's not the big curveball everyone seems to claim it is.
Well, yeah, it's like a couple months before this movie came out, maybe it was on this podcast, I said that I thought this movie was just going to be the rebel cell of Marvel movies. And that's exactly what it is. You know, it's just sort of... and I guess people have bought into it, but yeah, I just did not care for it. And the fact that the mother scene happens at the beginning is a good scene. And then they just, I thought that was like his Chris Evans eating a baby scene. Like, I thought there was going to be something.
No
that,
one gets that one.
Some people get it. The nerds saw that movie. That there was going to be some element of it coming back in a way that was kind of meaningful. And yeah, it comes back, but. Man, there's just, I don't know. It's like he still misses his mom. Okay. Like, it was just, there was nothing done that was sort of specific to a character. It was just like, oh, a mom died. People love moms. Now, you know, Peter Quill loved his mom. Peter Quill misses his mom. We're not going to do anything else with it, you know?
Yeah, I do know. Okay, Point Break.
Yep. Thanks for listening to this minisode. Fuck Guardians of the Galaxy. James, you can argue that with all you want, but... So be it. Yeah, thank you for listening. Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to The MacGuffin Men. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.